Okay, we got a pretty good crowd tonight, so glad to see everybody. Our lesson tonight is basically one of Thanksgiving. And so we're going to look at this. When we say thanks, when we say thank you, we are saying in effect that we are not self-sufficient. And we need to know that. And so giving thanks curbs our ego and brings us down to size. And that's a big factor, even though it's not written in big blank letters right here. That is a big factor. I mean, basically, if we have a big ego, we're just going to take whatever people give us and not even thank them for it. So anyway, it establishes humility for us on our part. And it's a reminder that while capable and responsible, we are needy and dependent. I mean, all of us, yeah, a lot of us, we're financially okay. I mean, it may not be great, but we're financially okay. And we can take care of ourselves. It's not like we have to stand out on the corner and wait for the cars to pass by and maybe they'll give us some or not. So we're not needy and dependent in that case. And so because of that, we need to give thanks. Okay, Luke 17, 11 and 8 through 18. All right. It says, "It came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give God glory except this foreigner?'" All right, so the more important consideration is that we are called on by God to be thankful. He tells us to be thankful. You know, Ephesians 5:20, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we're also always supposed to be thankful to God. In everything, give thanks. And so we read that in 1 Thessalonians 5. And so, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." All right, so we should not be not nearly so concerned with the season of Thanksgiving as we should with the practice of Thanksgiving in our lives as Christians year round. Okay. All right. And so there's a certain perspective that comes from Thanksgiving. You know, most of this world takes one day of the year and practices Thanksgiving. And we sometimes fall into that trap. And we should be thankful every day. I mean, every day when we lift our prayers up to God, we should be thanking Him for all of our blessings, whatever they might be. And, I mean, even if we have poor health, we should thank Him that we're not in the grave right now. So, yeah, that's a way of looking at it. So we're not talking about the holiday, but the practice that we want to address. And there are several things we learn about this. See, Thanksgiving improves our perspective about ourselves. And this is something we may never have thought of it this way, but when we start thinking about ourselves, we have a different perspective when we are thankful than if we're not thankful. We are reminded that we need God and the people of God. I mean, so there's no doubt about that. Now, not going to the Bible, but Abraham Lincoln, he gave a Thanksgiving proclamation in 1863. And what he said kind of bites. It's kind of sharp to the American people because of what he says here. Says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue in our own lives. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. I mean, those are some great words that he spoke, and they're just as appropriate today as at any time in our nation's history. And so, I mean, you can tell that this man had a knowledge of God and the Bible just by the way he framed his words. All right. So there is something extremely healthy that results from us making the words of Psalm 100 our own. It used to be called the Old 100. It used to be a favorite of so many people. And it's very easy. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. I mean, that's a beautiful passage of scripture, and it should be one of our favorites as we notice these things. See, in addition, we are reminded of how we each need how we need each other as the people of God. We're in this together, and I don't know how many times I've said that. As a congregation, we're in this together. We're here to help each other get to heaven, and the things we have to face and deal with, we do it together. In Philippians 1, 3-5, it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And then we go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, where he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. I mean, this ought to be a prayer that we say all the time. These two prayers ought to be mentioning our congregation and thanking God for each of us and thanking God for the work that we are doing. And so that should be part of our daily routine. See, sometimes our arrogance is addressed when we discipline ourselves to be thankful in all things. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's just like the words, I'm sorry. Some people have a very difficult time getting those words out. But thank you is just another one of those phrases that some people find difficult to say. And so we should do that, because someone might be trying to bless us and we just kind of shrug our shoulder and go our way. I mean, that's kind of hurtful. And so we need to be thankful for what people do for us. If they say, I'm praying for you, thank you. And so that's how we need to look at it. They're trying to give us a blessing. Maybe they're giving us a gift. You just say thankful. I mean, there's a reason for it, because they want to. And we should not deprive them of giving gifts. And we shouldn't deprive anybody of trying to bless others. And so genuine thanksgiving will improve our perspective about ourselves. And by helping us keep ourselves in the proper perspective. Someone said, if we learn how to give ourselves to forgive others and to live with thanksgiving, we need not seek happiness. It will seek us. I don't know who said that, but that's a great quote. All right. Thanksgiving improves our perspective about our things. Yeah, some of us, we don't have a lot. Some of us have much more than we need, but still, it gives us the proper perspective. All right, when we say thank you, we are remembering that we did not get all we have by ourselves. And so we are not self-made people, and actually no one is. And so we are stewards. That's how we need to view it. We are stewards because God has blessed us with these possessions. We need to use them wisely and properly as a good steward would. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. I mean, we have all the parables where Jesus talked about the servants. None of these servants would have been given a stewardship if they were not trustworthy to their master. And so, yes, I mean, that's something we need to do. As servants, we need to show ourselves trustworthy to our brethren and to assist them and be ready to assist them in any way we can. I mean, a servant is one who serves, is not there to be served. Like Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And so that's how we need to look at it. And we need to recognize servants serve others. As Christians, I've said this before, as Christians, there's one word which describes the life of a Christian more than any other. It would be this word, servant, because that's what we're to do. We're to serve each other. We serve each other in various capacities in different ways, but any way we look at it, if we're trying to help someone get to heaven, we are providing the greatest service known to mankind. So we need to work on that. So Thanksgiving helps our perspective about our things in at least two different ways. Now there's two ways it does it. First of all, it causes us to count our blessings and realize how much we have and enjoy and what responsibilities we have towards it. I mean, when we start thinking about things that we have, not only do we have possessions, we have a home to live in. It might not be our own personal home, but we still have the ability to live in a place. We have a home. We have things that we can be thankful for. We might have credit cards. We might have money in our wallet. But also, think about this. We have loved ones who care about us. We have brethren who care about us. And when we have that, I mean, that's more reason to count your blessings. Because when someone is concerned for your soul, kind of like we talked about this morning, when someone is concerned for your soul, they're going to help you get to heaven. And that's one of the greatest blessings to be thankful for, that someone is there actually trying to help you get to heaven. And we should treat it as a great blessing. In 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, once again, don't complain about it. I mean, if you're helping somebody, I mean, be glad you're helping somebody. Know that you're a blessing to them, but don't complain about it. And if you're being helped by somebody, don't complain about that either. Because anyway, each one has received a special gift. Now, it's not really sure if Peter is talking about the gifts of the Spirit that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not really sure about that. But some of us have gifts. Some of us have the gift of gab. Some of us have the gift of considering others and trying to be a blessing to others. Some people have a gift of knowledge, and some people have gifts that they can help someone in some way. I mean, we all have different abilities. We all have different talents and things that we can do. So just make the best use of what you have to do what you can for others. And so, because we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God, when we do something nice for somebody, this is God's grace at work. Think about that. We are actually the instruments by which God uses us to share his grace upon others. And so we don't look at it that way. We just think God gives grace and nothing else is involved. No, he's using you and me to do that. And so that's why he uses us to share the grace of God with others when we leave this place, when we go out into this world. Share the grace of God. And of course, leave the results up to him, because he's the one who's going to give the increase. See, Ephesians 1:3, we're told, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." See, outside of Christ, there are no spiritual blessings. Now, people in this world throw that word blessed around quite a bit. Oh, I'm blessed. And, I mean, if they're not a true Christian, they're not blessed. Now, they might be the recipient of someone being nice to them, and they might call it blessed, but according to the scriptural definition, that is not blessed. The only person who can be blessed is one who is in Christ Jesus. All right. And even though, think about this. Here's a little poem here. "Even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear and have the strength to rise. There are those who are deaf and bedfast." See, even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are those who are lonely. And even though our breakfast table never looks like the picture in the magazines, and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no work. And even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my modest circumstances were not quite so modest, thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Now, doesn't that put things into perspective? I mean, it should. And it not only should get us to think, but others to think as well. Now, second thing that it talks about, of how the blessings are beneficial to us, having counted our blessings, expressing thanks for them helps to keep us from developing an insatiable desire for more and more, in which we are covetous instead of content. See, if you're just getting things, acquiring things, I mean, that turns into covetousness and greed and idolatry real quick. And so if we're thankful, express thanks for the things we have, then be thankful for them. And not say, well, thank you, but I wanted more. I mean, have you ever thought of that? Yeah, because someone talked to you and wants to give you something. Well, thank you, but I mean, imagine these guys on the street corner. You have them a $5 bill. Yeah, but I wanted a 10. I mean, what would we do if somebody, sorry, that's all you're getting, dude. But anyway, some people are not satisfied even when you give them things, and they should be thankful for it. All right, so to thank the Lord for all we have is to remember the rich and rare blessings that we enjoy and the things that money cannot buy. There are things greater than possessions. I mean, there's our family, there's our loved ones, there's our brethren, more than anything else. And maybe you can't stand your family, maybe you don't like being around your family, but you have your brethren that you spend the time with, and you can love them, and they are a rare blessing indeed. So that's what we can do that. In Luke 12:15, Jesus said, and he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." See, that's what Jesus was saying. We can't take it with us, so we need to use it properly when we have it. So our greed is addressed when we discipline ourselves to be thankful for all things. And it keeps greediness out of our lives. See, the story is told about, here's a Scottish preacher, Alexander White. He had always began his prayers with an expression of gratitude. And that was really neat. People were actually kind of hoping that he would say something different from time to time, but he's always expressed gratitude. So here it is, one cold, miserable day, the people wondered, I just wonder what he's going to say. What could he find to be thankful for? So White began his prayer, "We thank thee, Lord, that it is not always like this." That's the way of doing it, right? Preacher back in Texas, Brother Murray, Oliver Murray, I respected him a great deal. He told the story about a lady in East Texas who was always complimenting people, always saying good things about people. No matter what they did, always talking about and always said something good about people. And it was kind of getting on the nerves of some of the members. So I said, well, let's try a test. Can you tell us something good about Satan? She sat there for a minute and she said, you know, he's always on the job. Whoa. So, I mean, and so according to Brother Murray, that actually happened. So, but anyway, that's just things about that. I mean, what are we going to be thankful for? And yeah, if something's not great, well, be glad it's not like that. So anyway, this makes the point that we should look for things to be thankful for because of what it reminds us about our things in general. And then Thanksgiving improves our perspective about God, about our God. When we give thanks for what we have, we are forced to think about God, the great giver of the greatest gifts. I mean, those greatest gifts are things that take care of us, the sustenance we need, our physical needs and our mental needs, and of course, the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, and the gift of salvation. In James 1:17, he says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. I mean, that's a great passage to keep in memory. I mean, it is good there. And so Scripture lays out for us what God has done and reminds us to be thankful for it. God has done a lot for us. He's done a lot on our benefit. And of course, he sent his son to die on the cross to give us that hope of salvation. And so we need to be reminded constantly of everything God has done for us. And we need to be thankful for it. See, in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So thanksgiving to God. And then Romans 6:17-18, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That is something to be thankful for. You know, in Luke 15, he talks about the fact that when one returns to the Lord, the angels rejoice. And apparently their rejoicing include thankfulness, and so we should be thankful as well. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I mean, we couldn't talk enough about the gifts that he has laid upon us and the greatest gift of all, the gift of his son. And so we got to thank God for that constantly. All right, so our anxiety is addressed by giving thanks. Sometimes we're anxious for things. We get nervous about things. We have a surgery coming up, and we're looking forward to it, but there's a little bit of anxiety going on, and so we're warned about that. When we thank God for all he has done and given to us, we focus our attention on his grace and power. We don't look at the negative. We think about how great things are because God did it for us. See, in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So yes, we have anxiety, whatever it might be. No, you don't need to be anxious about these things. Now, we usually turn around and say, well, you can be concerned about things. You can be mindful of things. But no, the idea of anxious is a little bit harsher than what we probably intend when we say those things. But he reminds us, by everything and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, there's no comma in there to separate these thoughts. The thanksgiving goes along with prayer. And so we should be doing there. And 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, he talks about going to God in prayers and supplications and petitions. Let your requests be made known to God. So, one cannot be thankful until they are content. And see, here's the problem. If you're not content, you're going to be griping. You're going to be complaining. You're going to be grumpy. And things just aren't the way you think they ought to be. And so, but if you can get to that stage where you are thankful that what people have done for you, what others have done for you, what God has done for you, what else do you need? I mean, that's the way of looking at it. And so it's our perspective is what we're focusing on. See, thankfulness grows out of thoughtfulness. I mean, keeping in mind what others have done and helped us with. I mean, so thankfulness grows out of that. And so our focus on giving thanks should cause each of us to think carefully about all that God has done for us. And that should move us to draw closer to Him. So that's the way it is. You know, the writer, Charles Dickens, said that we should have 364 days of thanksgiving and allow only one day for griping and complaining. You know, that's a good idea. And that's what, as a Christians thank God every day. True Christians thank God every day. And they don't have to wait until the fourth Thursday in November to thank God. No, we can do it all the time, every day. We gather together. And believe me, every time we gather as Christians, one of the things that comes out of our mouth is we thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. And so thanksgiving is there. Now, we need to extend that beyond our just Sunday morning worship service and take it with us into our lives, into our everyday existence, and be thankful for what God has given and done for us. So think about that thing. These are just some ideas that came across. Some of the writing was not very bright, and you probably had to strain on looking at it. I realize this particular program, PowerPoint program, is not designed the way mine is, so that's why. But anyway, you get the idea. That's our lesson for tonight. We always offer the invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.